So we were traveling from Burundi to Rwanda, and suddenly this woman appeared. It wasn't an apparition, it was a woman, actual woman. She was from one of the from the conference, and she was so blessed, I guess is how you'd say it, that she wanted to see us off at the airport. And so she had been in a government position, so she had a VIP pass in the airport, and the, it was sweltering. You can imagine 80 plus degrees and the humidity and everything. And there was no air conditioning in the airport itself. So she says, come with me. And she ushers us into the VIP lounge, air conditioned. The VIP lounge. And what do you want? You know, do you want some cappuccino? You want something to eat? And just the royal treatment. And, you know, when you're weary, and God does just a little thing like that, it's such an uplifting thing on the journey. And so I'm just glorifying the Lord for that this morning and encouraging you to expect those special moments, those special encounters that the Lord wants to bring into your life. We are here today not to celebrate Easter baskets, Easter candy, the Easter bunny. Or even the fact that we're going to gather and have an Easter meal with family and friends. We are here to celebrate and boast in the fact that Jesus proved he was the Son of God. When he rose from the dead, he proved that the testimony that he always claimed. He didn't waver amidst all the criticism, all the naysayers. He just kept doing. And I like what the scripture says. It was like, I don't know if these are the exact words, but it was as if he walked resolutely to the cross. He didn't waver. He knew what it was going to involve. He knew the suffering and the separation from his Father. And yet, he was willing to do it for the sin of mankind, for my sin, for your sin. So we always need to keep that at the forefront. What he actually did for you. Yes, he rose, you know, the Father honored his obedience to the mission that he gave him. And I forgot this one scripture, but it's Romans 1, chapter 4, which says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was declared to be the Son of God. And so we're here to celebrate and boast in the victory of the cross this morning. And every time we gather because of the sacrifice of the cross. And that Jesus did not waver in the least. Even though he knew it wasn't going to be an ordinary day. He said, not my will, Father, but thine be done. What a testimony. And we're also here to boast in the power of the resurrection. That's the title this morning. The power of his resurrection. That power hasn't been diminished. It's still operating. It's still as powerful as the day of Calvary. And I'm going to read our text this morning, Philippians chapter 3, 10 to 14. That I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. If you don't know it, you were apprehended by Jesus. You were rescued. You were snatched from a life you were living, even if it was a good life. It wasn't his plan for your life. And so the first thing there, point number one, is to know him. You know, you can read the Bible, you can quote scripture, and not know him. You can know about him. You can know what the world says about him, even what the scripture says about him, but not know him. First John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. But why not see him just as he is? Why not know him in this life that we live? Why not keep him at the center of our life in every mundane circumstance that we have, that we encounter, every challenge, every situation? The Amplified reads that verse this way, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. That's the Christian life. That's the abundant life that John 10:10, when Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's it right there. Earlier in the chapter here, Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything. And he was a, I guess you would call him a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was trained and he knew the law more than the average Jewish man. But he didn't know him. He only knew about him. And it did him absolutely no good. The Apostle John knew Jesus. He said this, John 17:3, And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. John is saying, who was the closest of any of the 12, So we need to purpose to know him more deeply and clearly and allow that knowledge, that relationship, to change us. That life isn't just like it was or doesn't have to be like it used to be, same old thing, but God's wanting to be more involved. And as we come to know him, that's what we find out. He wants to be more involved with us. And to know him is to know his resurrection power. You see, I have just an unlimited list of things I could write down about what his resurrection power has done in my life, what I've seen that resurrection power do in the lives of others. It's just an ongoing testimony of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Bear with me, my voice wants to depart. I don't know if you can hear it crackling here, but I will finish this morning because he's given me a word. Secondly, first, to know him. Secondly, to know his resurrection power. From verse 10. The Passion Translation reads that verse this way: to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. J.B. Phillips' translation says this: I long to know Christ and the power shown by his resurrection. You're not going to just get a surface understanding of this without knowing him. And you get a revelation of how powerful the blood of Christ was, is, and will always be. Romans 6:5. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. See, it's a package deal. The Apostle Paul is saying here in Romans. The Amplified reads, for if we have become one with him by faith, by sharing a death like his, how do we share a death like his? Does it mean we have to actually physically die? No, it means we have to die to the flesh, die to our wishes, our desires, and submit all those things to his lordship. We shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection. By a new life lived for him. Peter talks about this resurrection power in his life in 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And how do we experience this? By purposing to pursue him. To always be, he pursued you. You didn't find him, he found you. And so it would be a wise decision for you and I to always be after him, knowing him, knowing his power, knowing his heart, knowing his love, knowing the depths of his grace. That word for power, it's not something, that you can plug in a generator or, something in the natural. It's at another level. It's God's power. That's what what it's talking about there in the resurrection power. In Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. That's his calling for you. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. And so this doesn't just happen by a half-hearted commitment to the Lord. You're not going to get a deeper grasp of the things of God or the power of God or even who Jesus is by just operating on a superficial level. We are privileged to be living at a time when we are going to see an unprecedented move of the power of God. But are we ready? Are we ready? That's the question each of us needs to answer. We don't want to watch the move go by and have regret because we were not ready. We were not prepared for what God was about to do. We want to be participants. We want to be involved in what God intends to do, and he will do in these coming days. I don't know what that will mean, but it's going to mean a different church than we have today. You can bet on that. It will not be church as usual when the Holy Spirit begins to move with that very resurrection power of Jesus Christ worldwide. And so why would we think we are exempt from that? But we need to prepare. We need to be made ready by the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation reads 2 Peter 1, 3 this way. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you by faith. See, it's a package deal here. As we receive the things of God by faith, that resurrection power is part of that package. And so it's all by faith. So we need to dare to believe that we are called for greatness. You and I. God called us for great things. Don't be afraid, and definitely don't be shy about it. Don't back off during these coming days. Even this morning, this is what Holy Spirit said to me. His resurrection power does the improbable and the impossible. Would you agree? The improbable and the impossible things that you and I cannot comprehend, understand, let alone do in our own piety or righteousness. Only God can do these things. And his resurrection power changes lives. Changes you. Sometimes it's a gradual process and you're not aware of it, or even sometimes people aren't aware of it, but over time, it'll be obvious. As you and I submit to the Lordship, as we submit to the working of Holy Spirit and to that awesome resurrection power that's always available but not always called upon, we will be changed. We will be different. We will live a life that will glorify Him in everything we say and do. Now, any volunteers for this one, number three? To have deep fellowship with Him and His suffering. Fellowship isn't just a good time. Going deeper in Jesus isn't all about excitement. It's about doing the work in my life and in your life that needs to be done if we're going to live in such a way that we glorify Him. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Sounds wonderful. That's not the end of the verse, though. If we indeed suffer with Him, in order that we might be glorified with Him also. This is what they call the rubber meeting the road. Suffering for Christ. We don't volunteer for it, and we certainly don't desire it most of the time. But it is going to come our way. If we're living for Christ, we will also suffer for Christ, suffer for the gospel. And it's not an option. It's not like check plan B. No, it's plan A. You know, Paul thought he was living a pretty good life for God until the Damascus Road. And then he said this in the letter to the Galatians, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's no longer about me, in other words. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. He paid the supreme price that we might have a fulfilling and abundant, meaningful life. Yeah, that's His name is Jesus, by the way. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. So why would you think you are exempt? Why would I think I can live to not serve? The central thing in everything I do is to serve others, not serve myself. That's what it's saying here. That's the underlying foundational principle here. But here's the thing. He enables us to do it by His resurrection power. Glory to His matchless name. He undergirds us with His strength, with His might, with His grace, and with His power. For anything and everything He calls us to do and say for Him. So that word fellowship also means participating or sharing. So when the verse reads to have fellowship with him in his suffering, it's saying sharing. Having suffering, but the thing is, you have his grace, you have his support, you have his love to walk you through these things that you are unable to conquer except in Jesus' name. So you need to draw near to him in these days, this season, in your testings, in your suffering, and you will find, how many of you believe God's word is true? 2 Corinthians 2:14. He always, did I say always? He always leads us in his triumph. In Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So we are carriers of his presence. That's what the aroma is. It may not be a physical smell like a flower or a rose or something, but something transpires in the atmosphere when you and I enter. Because we're not entering just as we were. We're now entering as we are in Christ, empowered by his resurrection power. His resurrection changed you. Whether you realize it or not, his resurrection made a difference. It made a change. It made available his resurrection power. Yes, his, you know, the Holy Spirit and all this, I'm not diminishing that, but he enables us to do far more than we ever thought we were capable of doing by his resurrection power. By entering in to the fellowship, not just the sweet things, not just the exciting things, but in the suffering also. But here's the thing, you have to find him. You have to look for him in your testing, in your trial, in your suffering. He is always going to be there. But instead of trying to figure out an exit strategy, we're very good at that. Why not go to him? Why not look to him? Why not access his resurrection power? It has far better results than anything you and I can conjure up. Number four, to be conformed to or to be like Christ. From verse 10, to be conformed to his death. And the passion rendering here is, I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. The Amplified reads, that I may so share in his suffering as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness. Wow, that's a tall order, but not for him. All he's looking for is a people who are ready and willing to access this resurrection power. It's not just at Easter. It's not just on Resurrection Sunday. It's every day you live and breathe. You need that. That's your means of survival in this evil time. So you need to find him in your suffering, in his work that he gives you to do in his name, and access and walk in his strength, his grace, his love, provision, and also his power. That's what's going to get you to the other side of the challenge. I'm getting there. I still have my voice. Glory to his matchless name. Number 5, from verses 11 to 12. To attain or lay hold of Jesus. And, you know, when you study the word, you find out some very interesting things that the English language would not ever let you in on. That word, when it says lay hold, it actually means to meet face to face. To meet face to face with him. Wow. So, to lay hold of, to understand his purpose and calling for you. Measuring up to godly standards and exhibiting Jesus in your service to him and for others. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Oh my, that's a tall order except for Jesus. It's actually an impossible thing. It's impossible most of the time to get two people to agree on anything. Never mind his church. That's why we have so many denominations, because everybody thinks they know the truth, but they don't know him most of the time. And they definitely don't know his resurrection power most of the time. Or they wouldn't squabble over details that made a split in relationships and in families and in churches. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the fullness of Christ. Let's just look at that. Until, verse 13, till we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Help me, Jesus, that's all I gotta say. How about you? You need help? You need Jesus to help you? That's a tall order right there. It would be impossible except for him. Except for his love, his grace, and his power. So, Paul continues here in the text today, Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And so this gives added meaning to Paul's encounter on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus face to face, which is literally the meaning there of laying hold, meeting with Jesus. I won't sing it because my voice is not there today, but you know the song, "In Christ alone I put my trust. I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, Christ alone. Is that your song today? It should be. I literally know thousands of Christian songs, and I don't understand why certain songs come into my spirit at certain times. But this song, most of you, this is before your time, before you were even saved. There was a man named Dallas Holm, and he had a song, and the verse was this: hold on to Jesus and let him have his way. That's the challenge. Because if you're like me, I want to do things my way. I have an idea that I think is better than his. Well, if you're honest, you do too. At times. And if he's going to be glorified in these coming days in your life, if you're going to experience his resurrection power in this coming season, you're going to need to let him have his way. That's it. No questions asked. Because we know the scripture tells us he's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He's with us 24/7, and he's a very present help in time of trouble. But here's the thing. We have a tendency to look to other things, to other people, to other sources, instead of Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. So, this is the victory that overcomes the world, John said in 1 John 5:4. Even our faith, your faith, my faith. And he will, we read it already, 2 Corinthians 2:14, he will lead us in his triumph. He will supply the power, the provision, the grace, the patience, the love, whatever it is we need, he will supply it in Christ. But we have to not refuse it. We have to live and walk by faith in such a way that we access these things, that we are empowered by these things, and that we will stay the course, no matter what. We all know the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's not an option. And we have to start thinking like that more and more. Because he is the God of the improbable and the impossible. And he will show up and he will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. Can you glorify the Lord this morning? Can you give him praise as we continue to celebrate his goodness together?